ATM is safe, your banks are safe, there's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve,
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I have been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love, don't you?
The arbitrage on this trend has been margin called.
I think it was a hook, trusted your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks, hell of a saint. Are they cooking the books? Save up a decade, now lost in a day. Another November, I'm just getting away. Bigger the bet, bigger ripple effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, inside the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big tippy net. Made from your savings, that's 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialized losses while reaping the gain. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause you're just a pawn in the fertility game.
We need all to pay for the show, pay for the cloud, pay for the thrill, pay for the media to lie to our face. Distort the truth so we repeat our mistakes. Sell us a dream that never delivers. While raking in fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from the mouthless bigot. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingle the risks that nobody knows. Far ever go to a damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. And government capture the private play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. Bailouts are pawned and completed.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex and fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And that our economies are large to X.
What would happen if we take our money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the cartel defense with the will of free markets.
Build an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step two.
Move for savings in their systems so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities moving this way. With our own money, everything changed. We no longer positive to the effect.
Well, how I desire earning my way, and with time, earning a larger piece of pie, or if you want to be on the pie. Money is the art of power, but when the match keeps going to politicians, come and capture it out of the place, and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being censored. Move on from gambling savings. Move on from all the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't got to trust every word that they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can get to control of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, enter the game.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 74 of the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to say good morning to everybody out there listening. Good morning, Death and Bitcoin, Ace, Jeff, Chivas, Chip, Beach Trader, Geoff, BitCat, Omar, Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle, and Bob Van Kirk. Good morning, sir. How was your evening?
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. It's always a great day to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fired up this morning. I had a great night last night. Had some great discussions with another homeschool dad. So it was really cool. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But some big news we are going to talk about. President Putin of Russia was at a conference, VTB Capital Investing Forum, called Russia is Calling. And he made a pretty big, bold statement that we'll be covering here in just a few minutes. But before we dig into that, while everyone's still refilling their coffee or their bone broth, or you're in the West Coast, you're just getting the gunk out of your eyes because you just woke up. I want to make sure everyone understands the reason why we do this show every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And that's to show the world that Bitcoin is the solution to almost all of the problems that we're encompassing. That little saying that everyone, that all the Bitcoiners say, Bitcoin fixes this. It truly does. And once we can show the world that we can become free of this, of the chains and the shackles and get off this hamster wheel where we're just constantly just running as quick as we can using all of our energy, but not getting anywhere, where we can show them where we can just kind of step off and do our own thing and become your own sovereign individual. And that's what Bitcoin Veterans is about. It's about showing the world and everyone that potential. We did that during Hurricane Helene with Operation Gabriel. We saw what was going on. We saw the lack of government intervention, and we just went in and we didn't need permission and we did our own thing. With your help, we raised over $115,000 and we put that money to good use. We helped people that had no communication. We set up Meshtastic, communication. We went out and helped families with warm weather clothing, with generators, with fuel, and we're also helping out with livestock, getting feed and food for them. So this is an amazing group. If this is your first time tuning in, make sure that you give us a follow. Again, we do this every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m., and this is going to be one of the best spaces out there where you're going to get the highest signal, and there's absolutely just no trash, no garbage. We're not going to talk about XRP. Who cares about that shitcoin? We are Bitcoin only, and we are veterans. So please reach out to us if this is your first time, or if you've just been sitting on the sidelines. What are you waiting for? Let's come join this group. I see we have AC in the audience. I'm going to send you an invite, sir, if you want to come join the stage and talk. But some big news that came out. I put a link up in the nest. President Putin said that nobody can ban Bitcoin. So he spoke at this conference in Russia. It's an annual event that they go over investment banking, and it just serves as a platform for dialogue among government officials, business leaders, and investors, just focusing on economic and investment opportunities within Russia. So during this speech, he's quoted saying, "Who can ban Bitcoin? Nobody. And who can prohibit the use of electronic means of payment? Nobody. And no matter what happens to the dollar, these tools will be developed one way or another." So I would have played the clip for y'all, but it's in Russian, and I think the amount of listeners we have that understand Russian or are fluent with it are probably next to zero. So we're not going to play that clip, but I'm going to go ahead and we'll start talking about this. I think this is huge news. I've had some pushback saying it looks like, or it could it be AI generated? From what I'm seeing, it doesn't appear like that. It does appear that he actually stated this, and this would have been said just a couple of hours ago. And the reason this is such big news is that we've been talking about the BRICS and how they are trying to create their own currency. And this would be a way out for them to get out of the SWIFT system. And we've all speculated that they know the importance of Bitcoin. And this just kind of sums that up, and it kind of proves our theory on that. Especially when Donald Trump last week stated that if the BRICS does create their own currency, that we would sanction them and do a lot of tariffs. So this is pretty big news. So Eomar, AC, Bob, if you guys want to go ahead and give me your thoughts on that, I'd definitely like to get your view.
Yeah, Coleman, on one hand, I can see, I mean, this is big news, no doubt. I think on one hand, it's, you know, almost a tell. Like if you're a poker player, this is, you know, Putin kind of saying, hey, we've figured out that there's a solution to some of our problems with dollar dominance and sanctions and those things. On the other hand, you know, I like to attack Bitcoin, just for my own personal, like, hey, what could go wrong type thing. And I've been doing this for a long time, especially as, you know, things have developed. And one thing, if I'm playing the contrarian to how exciting this might be, I'm looking at it saying, you know, the dollar still is highly important to the United States government. And it's a means of control, right? I think we've all identified that. And so if these countries that we have sanctions against heavily adopt Bitcoin and it's a way for them to circumvent our sanctions and our power, you know, Bitcoin could come under quite a bit of scrutiny to the people who don't understand what it is and what power it could give them. And so I think if Russia and BRICS nations adopt it heavily first, it could be a problem. On the other hand, it could drive Trump and the United States to pump up the reserves faster. And so I don't know. Those are just my initial thoughts. Curious to hear what other people think.
Yeah, no, those are really, it's always good to get the other side of that. So I appreciate that, Bob. And you bring up some good points, but I think at this state in the game, I believe it's inevitable. I truly don't think that they can, even if they don't like it, that there's nothing that they can do to stop this. And so I would equate it to if you're against nuclear, but Russia, you know, starts gearing up a bunch of nuclear facilities, you would probably do the same thing. And I'm not sure if that's a really good analogy. But I just, it's going to force them and there's no way around it. And with the BRICS joining together and trying to find a way out of the SWIFT system and create something outside of it, this just seems like the answer. And I think even as, I know you're not supposed to use the word, I'm going to use it, as retarded as the US government is, and I'm pretty sure that they understand and can see the writing on the wall that there is a lot of people that don't want to be underneath the thumb. And I believe Donald Trump sees it as well. And that's why he's so like, he's talking out about trying to create a new system or a new payment or a new currency and not using the United States dollar as the world reserve currency. He's just trying to, you know, showboat a little bit or just try and influence the sway or the power of the United States. But I really don't think that they're going to be able to prevent this from happening.
I agree. I do think it's inevitable. One thing that you made me think of as you were sharing is, you know, something that's come out of BRICS is that none of them, they don't want a unified currency, like a BRICS currency. So it's more of a trading block and a cooperation to essentially de-dollarize. And how you do that without a currency, is very difficult. I think that they all can trust is difficult. So that's where I think they're coming to the conclusion that a non-sovereign, incorruptible unit like Bitcoin is the answer. And though, I think this is definitely a big step, and this announcement or this, these comments, people are going to pay attention for sure, whether it's, you know, a United States audience or a global audience, or even like a BRICS audience. So I think you have to understand how people are going to digest the information and how the market's going to react.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. I would equate it to how everyone else viewed us when we had mentioned, that we were going to create a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Like no other country outside of El Salvador actually announced that. So this posturing that you see from the other countries, I'd imagine that's how they viewed it when we said it. So these comments coming out of Putin, it's kind of like, oh, okay. They're serious about this. And I'm sorry, Omar, I didn't mean to talk over you.
Yeah, no worries. I was just going to say, you know, I posted to Nest, the article I wrote back in January that points out the fact that, you know, Bitcoin is a viable alternative to the BRICS nations. You know, when you, one of the charts in there shows the various BRICS nations and the US dollar and the depreciation of them over time. And, you know, that was the benchmark for a long time. And that was the reason why, you know, various think tanks would say, you know, this is why we can never get, you know, nations will never get off the dollar because their currencies are worse. But then when you add Bitcoin to the mix, it's a clear standout. And then, you know, when you add in the weaponization of the dollar and the payment system that we have, you know, it's a victory for, and I've said this before on the podcast or on the spaces here, But, you know, it's a victory for our adversaries, or just the people that, not even necessarily adversarial, but the ones that just don't want to be under our thumb. It's a victory for them just to dethrone the dollar. And I think Bitcoin is the easiest way for them to do that without having to give their sovereignty to another nation. Every other solution requires like giving up sovereignty to some other nation, right? Like if you're using the US dollar, you're giving sovereignty to the US system. If you're using the Chinese yuan or the ruble or any other currency, you know, that country has the final say. But if you're using Bitcoin, you're all giving up sovereignty, right? It's like, you know, better. So the question is it better that somebody has it or better that nobody has it? And I think the conclusion they're getting to in like Putin's statement is that it's better that nobody has it, right? And like that the competition will be moved into, you know, like mining and that sort of stuff, as opposed to, you know, whatever the, you know, the military industrial complex enforcing the US dollar dominance over the world. And like, I really wish I'd read Soft War before today. I have it sitting on my desk, but I have too much stuff to read and I'm trying to get through, Scott Horn's Encyclopedia of Provoked. So, it'd be interesting to kind of add that context to it, but I don't have it at the time.
No, so I was just trying to go through and brush up on just a little bit of what you were talking about there, Eomar. And sorry, I just got a little distracted. So just give me 1 second, to gather my thoughts on that. But Russia's posturing on Bitcoin and this sector is definitely changing. So on November 1st, they allowed private mining for their citizens. And then just recently, within the last couple of weeks, they signed a law recognizing Bitcoin and crypto as property. And that's significant because that means that they're allowed to tax it at 13 to 15% for individuals and 25% for corporations. So you can see them coming around to it, and you can see them, you can see everyone just kind of accepting it. But to go back to the BRICS and how you can't trust anybody, the jobs report came out, the ADP payroll came out, and we missed expectations. And then last month for October, it was revised down again by like 30 or 40,000 jobs. So again, we can't even trust our own government, our own numbers. Like these numbers should be available almost instantaneously, because every month these companies just have to file. And so it's all done. So there shouldn't be any guesstimation going on. We're on the 5th. All these numbers have to be reported already. So this should be instantaneous. And yet they still can't even get this accurate. So we can't even get like these simple things done correctly. Like there's no trust. And so that's why Bitcoin exists. It's trustless. You don't have to rely on anybody else. And this is just the way of the future and this technology. And I believe that's why a lot of people have a hard time with it, because it is literally going to make everything else obsolete. And they're just the second and third order effects from it. Like 20, 30 years from now, the systems we are currently running won't exist anymore. I truly do believe that. I believe that everything will be evolved so everything is trustless and it's just completely automated. And so the faster that they can get on it, it gives them a competitive edge.
Yeah. And I just want to point out too, like in terms of we were talking about like the strategic reserves and stuff before. I think like it's important to note that like these things don't happen in vacuums, right? Like just because like it seems like it's happening in a vacuum to us, it doesn't mean that it is, right? Like we don't have all the information that, you know, leaders of countries have, right? So like we mentioned before, right before the BRICS conference, I think it was the European Central Bank released that kind of like hit piece, like sloppy hit piece on Bitcoin. Like, oh, you should hate Bitcoin because like other people have owned it longer than you. And to me, that was like a big indicator of, you know, the fact that they like whatever intelligence, you know, the Western governments have, they could see that like BRICS is moving towards like Bitcoin as an option. That's the way I interpreted it. It seemed very clumsily done, in my opinion. And then you have, Trump, you know, talking about the SBR. I don't think that happens in a vacuum, you know, like I'm sure he had intelligence before. I'm sure he's got, you know, people that with connections now. And I don't think it was done in a vacuum. Like he just thought, oh, this would be a fun idea. And I don't think it was entirely done just to garner votes. I think it's, you know, I've made the argument before, but like, even if you don't want it to happen, you should hedge your bets, right? Like, you don't want to be exposed. That's why we supposedly have a ton of gold as well. You know, like, you know, gold's not used right now, but until Bitcoin, gold was the fallback plan, right? So what's the new fallback plan? I think it's pretty, I think it's becoming clearer and clearer that Bitcoin is the new fallback plan. You know, the ability to do like international settlements in Bitcoin is significantly easier than it would be in gold, you know, and it will prevent that, you know, the paperization of it, you know, that layer, like they could still build a layer on top of Bitcoin, but you can at least, it's much easier to audit, right? We have no idea what's in the Federal Reserve right now. But you know, if we have, you know, like wallet address information and stuff, we can audit how much the federal government has or different federal governments have. You could build a layer on that to do initial settlement and then transfer the actual Bitcoin later, you know, based, you know, there'd be some trust required there, but at least you can audit stuff, right? Or like in terms of international trade, I don't think it has to be done instantaneous, right? You could probably wait a little bit and still function. So those are kind of my thoughts on it. I think it's really interesting that they're just coming out and saying it now. So we'll see how that goes. I have a feeling that like more will be like the statements that are coming out are lagging behind the actions on the ground. So I would take that into consideration too. They're not going to say something. I don't think you'd float out Bitcoin without already like having some stake in it. So, just keep an eye on that as well.
Yes, and I agree with you that they definitely, well, we know that they're mining Bitcoin. Again, like you said, that this statement, I think it's really, really big. It's, I don't know if we'll get, like more breaking news, to quote Dennis Porter, in the coming weeks. Just because again, it's so significant, especially the role that he plays in the BRICS, nations. So it's really important. And you have to remember that Eric Trump is going over to the, Bitcoin, Africa Middle East conference. And so I would imagine we're going to get more posturing with what the Trump administration wants to do, during his keynote speech. And especially coming on the heels of this, I would imagine that they're probably going to be a little bit more serious. Because if we're seeing it, there's definitely somebody else that's seen this as well. Cause they definitely have somebody that's watching these conferences and seeing what they're talking about. So, the race is on again. just get off zero. You don't have to acquire a whole Bitcoin all at once. Just start off small, but just get it now before you absolutely need it, or there's just nothing else to get. And again, I think we're pretty reserved. We don't really talk about price very much here at all, unless it's MicroStrategy, then we'll talk about it all day. But with Bitcoin, again, I don't think that we are really prepared for what's going to happen in the next 90 days when this new administration comes in. It's going to be fireworks. So it'll make for some really interesting spaces.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, like don't worry about like, you know, buy whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you can afford. And if you think it, like, don't get caught in the trap of, I forget what the word is for it, like unit cost or whatever. You know, don't think that you can ride some shit coin to new riches. Those things are not going to pan out well for you. You know, if you can only buy like a tiny fraction of Bitcoin, it's probably, you know, it's probably a higher percentage than you own of like the current world's wealth, right? Like if you can own, you know, half a Bitcoin, you know, that's a larger percentage of the total Bitcoin than you own of the total wealth of the world, I would imagine. So if a Bitcoin standard were to come, you know, you'd be most likely sitting in a better place than you are now in the fiat system. That's the way I look at it, at least. You know, whenever I get frustrated with the fact that I didn't buy Bitcoin the first time I heard of it, I always think of it in terms of, well, you know, I own this much, and while it's not enough, you know, it's a higher percentage than I own of the current fiat market cap.
You know, Mark, to that point, I just reposted a tweet that I posted yesterday, regarding XRP, and I almost don't even want to say the token here, but, I think it's an important point, that, you know, while some altcoins may have periods of, what I would call market exuberance and irrationality, if you look at XRP just as an example, if on January 1st, 2018, you had invested $1,000 in XRP, you'd still have 1,000 XRP, at least as of yesterday, $1,000 worth of XRP. But if you had done that same investment of $1,000 into Bitcoin on January 1st of 2018, you'd have $11,100 worth of Bitcoin. And so I think, you know, just as my tweet says, quality matters. And, you know, these assets are going to move at a different time and a different pace. And so if your unit of account is dollars, then sure, you might be able to time the market if you're good and make some money. If you're, again, looking at it in dollar terms, but in terms of Bitcoin, you know, I think the point here is you would have less Bitcoin. And so once you realize that the game is to get more Bitcoin, because it's lasting, unlike these other things, then, hopefully you can make better decisions and you don't venture out and try to become a hero, by gambling.
I think
if you need a gamble, go ahead and get yourself a BitX from Solo Satoshi and you can have a chance of winning, a block there. So shameless plug for, Bitcoin veteran sponsor.
Use the code BTCVETS for additional 5% off. And if you pay with Bitcoin, total of 15% off your order. But you're right, Bob. Like again, you said it perfect. Like this is not a short game play or short play with Bitcoin. Like this is for generational wealth. And again, if we do go to a Bitcoin standard, whatever that time is, again, everything is going to be priced in entirely different. And so you, again, the amount of Bitcoin you think you may need to have what you have right now is going to be significantly less in the future. So again, don't get defeated or depressed if you're not able to acquire your goal in the short term. Just keep going and keep stacking and just take it just bite by bite, piece by piece, sat by sat. And eventually you'll get to a place where you're happy and you're free. And that should be everyone's goal with Bitcoin. It's not a certain dollar amount. It's the ability to just do whatever you want on your own terms. Get out from the fiat wheel, get out from the thumb of governments, be able to go and just travel, and do your own thing. And so that should ultimately be the goal.
And Coleman, I think it's great. I mean, financial freedom is an amazing thing to have, but there are some people who would squander it, right? We've seen it with people who, win the lottery. Most of those people, have burned through everything, cause they didn't earn it. I think the bigger thing is that it's your time that you become free with, and then you need to be, working on the things that you otherwise wouldn't have the time to work on. So whether that's, you know, a passion project, a different career, your eating habits, your, you know, working out, like there's all these different things that Bitcoin will free you up to do. And it's hard to see because most people get into it for number go up and just the, you know, the monetary, financial freedom, I guess, that it would give us. But what you begin to realize if you're stacking long and hard enough is that it frees you up to do so many different things. And you've heard some of those things come out on this, Spaces, in 74 episodes with some of the guests that we've had, and just with, you know, anybody that's been up here speaking. And so I think, you know, not to be like, again, Tony Robbins on here, but like from a motivation standpoint, like you may come in for number go up, but my hope would be that you allow the time and the learning that you're doing, to change you, to make you, better, to help you set goals in your life. And then you can share those life changes with other people to make the world a better place. And so, sorry for the rant, but I just think like come for number, go up, but stay for, you know, something that's life changing or hopefully many things that are life changing.
Yeah, you're right, Bob. You need to have a goal. You need to have a passion. Your goal shouldn't just be able to retire at the age of 35 or 40. You'll go insane. Like just living on a beach, drinking margaritas all day. It's really bad for you. Not only bad for your health, but your mental state as well. You need like men and women were made to stay busy, to have tasks, to have goals, to have pursuits and passions. Like make sure you have that. Do it. And everyone's is different. Like again, yours might be, you know what? I want to be the greatest cupcake maker in the world. Go do it. But you're able to do it on your own time without having someone standing over top of you. And again, that should be the goal. So thank you for that, Bob. Real quick, I want to give a quick thank you to some of our other partners, Punch Plate. Make sure you stamp your seed for he's on a metal plate. Go to punchplate.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo supply at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi already gave them that plug, but use that code BTCVETS for 5% off your order. And if you pay in Bitcoin, you get an additional 10%. So total 15% off your order. Solosatoshi.com. And Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. Get there early. There are going to be a lot of pre-conference activities. Get your passes and get your hotels first. Again, Juneau is a tourist town. The lodging and accommodations are very limited, so make sure you get that sooner. You don't want to be camping out in a tent the entire conference, and you don't want to be living on Wade's boat. So make sure you get your conference tickets and hotel passes. Check them out at bitcoinalaska.org. Speaking of Punch Plate and metal seed phrases, Coin Kite and Trazer were talking about just record sales over the holiday shopping weekend. Trazer reported about a 600% increase in their sales over the month of November, and Coin Kite increased their last Black Friday sales by 1.5 X. So some massive demand coming from these companies. And so it's really important again to treat the Bitcoin you have, like it's 100 or 1,000 times the amount it is right now. So don't keep it on exchange. Don't keep it on your phone. Make sure you store that in a hardware wallet. Personally, I would choose CoinKite. But the Trazer thing I just saw pop in the news, so I wanted to bring that up. And the reason we don't keep our seed phrase or our Bitcoin on our phones or on a device that's connected to the internet. I'm not sure if we covered this, so I apologize if we already did, but Apple admits a security vulnerability that leaves your Bitcoin and crypto users exposed. So attackers could access sensitive data like private keys or seed phrases stored in their browser or notes, enabling crypto theft if the user's device remains unpatched. According to a recent Apple security disclosure, users must use the latest versions of its JavaScript core and WebKit software to patch the vulnerability. So if you have an Apple phone, definitely update it to the newest software. But just a general rule of thumb, never type down your seed phrase or your passwords on anything that's digital, not even just to print it out. Write it on a piece of paper that you intend to burn the second you have it memorized or the second you have it stamped on a metal plate. Do you guys have any other thoughts or comments or suggestions for anybody with their security?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really good advice. Obviously, we promote self-custody for sure. But exposing your keys to anything that is connected to the internet is always going to represent a huge risk. And so understand when you take self-custody that it takes a little bit of work. I think it's encouraging to hear that people are buying these air-gapped devices. And so just to be clear, like most of us when someone says air-gapped, okay, you might understand, but just for those that don't, an air-gapped device just means that it's not directly connected to the internet. And so it basically provides you with an additional layer of security where you're not exposing your private key for your Bitcoin to the internet directly. And I think that's really an important thing to understand as you look at self-custody. Simply downloading a software wallet on your computer or your phone and creating a private key and then sending your Bitcoin to that wallet is going to be, I believe, fraught with peril. It's a huge risk. And that wallet that you just created with a software wallet is a hot wallet, meaning that device directly connects to the internet. And there is no gap between that device and your Bitcoin being sent out by someone who gains access to those private keys or to that device. So I don't mean to be like for people that like have been in this for a long time and understand it, you know, talking under you, but I think it's important, especially if there's new folks or people who haven't yet taken the step to understand self-custody. I think these things are important to understand. So I just wanted to spell that out for people.
No, and you're right, Bob. Everyone, even if you've been in this for a long time, you still need a reminder and just to make sure that you're doing the things correctly. And sometimes you can get complacent if you become really familiar with something. That's usually where you make mistakes. So just always just be extra cautious, and there's no reason to, especially if you have a cold card. Wallet, there's no need to have that ever touching your computer or anything. Just do it completely offline, which is the SIM card.
So Coleman, not to shift gears, but you know, I think it's interesting related to this topic with, you know, maybe it's record sales or not for these self-custody hardware wallets. I think that's a really great sign. But it's interesting to see Coinbase, the stock, rallying. You know, they're one of the biggest and I think only publicly traded in the US at least, exchanges. And so, you know, people looking at self-custody and pulling their Bitcoin off of the exchanges, you'd think, well, maybe that's, maybe there's a correlation for Coinbase. I guess what it says to me is, good, people are pulling their Bitcoin off into self-custody. But what you're seeing is, I think, an uptick in, you know, retail who want to buy Bitcoin and sadly other cryptocurrencies at these exchanges. Wondering if you have any thoughts on Coinbase reaching nearly its year-to-date high, at least, in stock.
I don't follow anything, outside of Bitcoin other than MicroStrategy. So I have no idea how any of the other exchanges or really anything unless it pops up on my X feed. And I think it's worthy to talk about, but I do think this is worthy to talk about. So I don't mean to push that aside. My thoughts would be that I think, you know, it would be interesting to see that dip, where it dipped down and where it came back up, and how much that had correlation to Thanksgiving with, you know, family members talking, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that received questions about Bitcoin or that at least brought it up during the last week. And so it'd be interesting if it had an uptick during that time. But again, I think it's just, it's getting talked about more, and there's less taboo with it, and you're getting more companies that are adding it and openly talking about it. So again, I do think that's a positive. And I think as technology advances, it does make it easier and less quote unquote terrifying or scary to hold your own keys. So as it becomes more user friendly, I think we'll see this trend more. But the other question I did see that there's still like about 2.3 million Bitcoin on exchanges, on the reserves. So that number still seems really, really high to me. But I'm not really sure how that correlates to Coinbase's stock going up. I guess just as more people utilize it, it increases their profits. But that's about as far in depth as I can get on that, Bob.
I think I think you made some good points. Most of their revenue is derived from, well, now institutional custody, but traditionally, they seem to do better when there's higher activity, right? People get in and start trading all this stuff. So I think, this is truly a sign, like you probably the biggest thing that you said that, tripped the trigger for me was that, people were talking about this space over Thanksgiving, and now we're seeing the uptick in activity and therefore probably the fees and the expectation of the stock price or the price of Coinbase going up.
Do you know much about their metric, Bob? Like what percent of it is Bitcoin and what is like everything else, like their shit coins? Like I know the Bitcoin dominance is still above 50%. So I'm not sure if that correlates to Coinbase as their sales are still more swayed till Bitcoin or if it's more swayed till shitcoins.
I don't know the exact breakup. I know in the past when it's been quote unquote alt season and people are in there trading back and forth, they tend to do exceedingly well. Most people, that buy Bitcoin don't trade it. I mean, you see a whole, contingent of people who are just holding, right? That's kind of the mantra. So, from a Bitcoin perspective, I would think that the whole reason they allow the trading of altcoins is because that's where their profit is. Bitcoin isn't nearly, you know, they get it on the buy side, but they're not really making anything on, you know, people trading it back and forth. So, that's why they encourage that stuff. I think, we have a hand in the audience. I haven't been able to see many of the hands previously. So 23.
Hey, good morning, to everyone. Yeah, I'm jumping back a little bit to the self-custody stuff. I guess what I'm going to say is certainly for people new to it, and that may not be anyone here. A couple of things. I mean, I know Coleman, you said, you made reference to memorizing your seed phase, but just in case, or your 12 or 24 words, just in case there's someone new here, don't just memorize it, right? In case something happens to you, if you got wife or kids or something like that, or you get hit on the head, concussion, accident, can't just be in your memory. That's one thought. Another thought is, if you're not doing something like multi-sig, if you're just kind of old fashioned under the proverbial mattress or in the coffee can or something, put it in several locations. So there's a redundancy in case there, you live in a place that's a tornado zone, of course, house fire, flooding, you know, you may have it hidden in your house someplace, but if your house gets blown away in a tornado or something like that, you know, you might have a cabin or some other place that you can put it. And use a passphrase, the 25th word, if your cold storage has that, because, you know, in the future, as Bitcoin gets more normalized, you got some plumber or something like that crawling around redoing your bathroom and all of a sudden he finds a seed phrase and 7 years from now, that may be something that everybody recognizes. So you can't have someone finding your seed phrase and just have access now at that point on any device. You need to have that 25th word that family or someone also knows. And an embarrassing condition that I find myself in presently is that I never did the drill when I was starting to accumulate Bitcoin of wiping a wallet clean and then reusing the passphrase the 24 words. Never ran that drill. So I have my words in redundant places and I'm confident in them, but I've been locked out of my wallet 2 of the 3 possible times for entering the passphrase wrong. if I get locked out again, I'm in this stupid position where I'd be locked out of my wallet and I've never actually tested my 24 words in a different way. So I'm about to do that any day right now, but that's an embarrassing one that I'm humble to share with those who haven't done the same thing to try that out.
23, is that a passphrase or is it a password for the particular wallet software you're using?
So Trezor, you've got a numeral password to get in, and then there is another passphrase to get into wallet or wallets from there. So it's just that initial step on the Trezor. You have three strikes and you're out. You're locked out. And then you got to use your 24 words to get in. And that's great. But like I said, I never actually ran that test. I have the 24 words, but at the point now that Bitcoin is worth more, it's a little bit like, holy fuck, what was I thinking? Actually, my son, I got into Bitcoin and he actually did this test a long time ago and he's been telling me to do it and I never did.
So one thing I would recommend, like, especially if you're concerned about the funds, would be just recover in a different wallet software. Yeah. So like Sparrow Wallet is a great one for those of you out there, sparrowwallet.com, open source, free to use.
Yeah.
You can literally recover any wallet on any wallet software, but I think Sparrow is top notch.
So let me ask you a question there. Sparrow is a desktop. So, and I know it interfaces through other air-gapped and cold storage devices. But you're not saying just get on the desktop, download Sparrow, and then enter 24 words there, because now that goes against everything we just said. You're entering it. You're actually entering 24 words on your device.
Yeah, I mean, if you are really serious about it, like, I would get a separate computer.
Yeah.
I'd download Sparrow on a USB stick from, you know, a computer that's touched the internet.
Right.
And then what you'd do is, you know, from that USB stick, install it on a computer that's not connected to the internet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go from there if you really want to like test it out.
Yeah.
One thing that's also like great about Sparrow is you could connect it to your own node. Whereas with Trezor Desktop, you're only able to basically go through their public nodes. It's convenient, but you lose a lot of privacy because Trezor has access now to, you know, everything you're doing, whether you're scanning for balances or you're actually spending Bitcoin, they have access to all of that information. And so what I would say is like best practice, like sure, self-custody is, you know, one step, but then I think privacy would be
absolutely
the next, and running your own node is, I think, you know, kind of down the progression line.
Yeah, so that's my goal in the next couple months. My own node, probably going to switch to a cold card, and set up multisig. Cause like you said earlier, if you think about what you have as being worth 100x more or something, you know, it's like, I just don't like the idea of a $5 wrench attack. So multisig, I think, is the way to go. Another thought too, you know, I'm a part of a Bitcoin meetup group where I live. I was surprised to hear like one fella, who actually has significant Bitcoin. That's all subjective, right? But relative to me, he only had his passphrase in a safety deposit box, one place. And he was like, oh, it's totally safe. You know, no one can get in it. I was like, dude, there are certain kind of fire conditions where potentially that could go. And you're not being paranoid about government intrusion, which I don't think is super likely, but man, lack of redundancy just blows me away when someone has.
So being a banker, or a former banker, I guess now I'm a consultant for banks, but being a former banker, I'm always reminded of the story that some people might find interesting of, people storing valuable things in safety deposit boxes and other people knowing about that and then going into that same financial institution and opening up a safe box. And as an attack on the bank and that person's belongings, putting dead fish into the safety deposit box that they rent. And therefore, you know, after 2 or 3 days of the entire bank stinking of dead fish, the bank has to drill every box until they can find where the smell is coming from. And that could potentially expose your information to multiple people.
Absolutely.
But that has happened.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, there's all kinds of strange things that that could occur. But you're right, like fire, a tornado, you know, there's all kinds of different strange things that could occur. So simply having it in one place, whether it's the government coming in and forcing the bank to open up your box, or any of these other off strange things that could happen. I think you're right. There's risk in just about anything.
Absolutely. Good points.
Hey, AC, you have your hand up, sir?
Yeah, I was just going to say that great advice, Bob. In addition to spinning up an entirely air-gapped computer, it's also a good idea to have multiple different types of wallets. And in this situation, I'd point to either SeedSigner or Jade, because you can enter in your 24 words there and then start playing with the passphrase. Assuming you have annotated or taken note of your master fingerprint, entering multiple pass phrases until you have a matching fingerprint, and then you know that you've got the correct passphrase without jeopardizing your treasure. So something like a SeedSigner would help in that situation without spinning up an entirely new computer. And with the SeedSigner, you can build your own device for like less than $50. You can pick up a Jade for $65. Unfortunately, you missed a Black Friday deal. So just another option there to explore. And, you know, another benefit is if you're looking at multi-sig, either one of those or both of those, in addition to the Trezor, gives you optionality in building out your multi-sig setup.
So you could build out multi-sig with a Jade and the Trezor by itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you. You could build out a multi-sig with a Jade and a Jade, setting up the Jade in a stateless mode with two different 12 or 24 words. You could build a multi-sig with your Trezor, your existing Trezor, and a Jade. And you can pretty much mix and match it any way, just about any way you'd like.
I think that, again, Sparrow has some of the best tools to create a multi-sig wallet. There are, you know, you can use a Jade, you can use any of these hardware devices to do it with Sparrow. I think the biggest thing, and just have to say it with multi-sig, and, you know, I probably repeated this a million times on with different people that I work with or different spaces that I've been on, make sure that you can rebuild that wallet. And so when I say that, I mean, there's a certain descriptor that is going to be created when you do that multi-sig. That descriptor needs to be stored with each of your separate keys. So if you have a 2 of 3 multi-sig, that means you have 3 different sets of signatures. You would obviously want to geographically disperse those. So however you would want to do that, let's say you have a second home or you have a parent in a different place or a bank lockbox, or safety deposit box, or wherever you would store these 3 different pieces of information. I'm just giving an example here. You would want to make sure that the descriptor is stored with each of those 3 keys, so the descriptor of your wallet, because if you can't rebuild the wallet, then your keys are worthless. And so what I want people to understand is that while you may have the 3, you may have, say, the private keys, if you lose one of those 3 private keys, or you don't have access to it anymore because of it was stolen or there was a fire or the government came in or whatever the heck happened or somebody put a fish in that bank safety deposit box. If you don't have access to all 3 keys, then even though it's only a 2 of 3 multi-sig, you are unable to rebuild the descriptor of that wallet. And so again, the important thing is to have the description or the descriptor of that wallet, which can only be derived from having those 3 keys with each separate signature. And so I know that's complicated. If anybody needs help on any of this stuff, man, I've been doing this for a long time, like feel free to reach out. I'm happy to give advice or just answer a quick question or send you some resources. But I've seen too many people try to get too creative in their setup and not understanding exactly what's going on. And they've made bad mistakes and mistakes that, you know, you don't want to have to go through yourself. So just wanted to make sure people understand the pitfalls of multi-sig. It's not that scary once you understand how it works, but just make sure you understand how it works before you start doing it.
And you gotta be building that multi-sig with the assumption that it is someone else trying to figure it out because something happened to you, old age, whatever, not to be negative, but I think you have to build your multi-sig with that intention in mind.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate things. Again, if you find just memorizing 12 or 24 words may be challenging, I'm going to tell you right now, multi-sig is not for you. Do not try it. You will definitely lose your keys. So again, just make sure that you do this according to your skill level, but continue to try and do better. But again, having just plain 24 words, again, it's almost the exact same. It's the amount of attempts that it would take to crack that hardware wallet is almost the exact same number of atoms there are in the known universe. So again, just a regular 24-word seed phrase is near impossible to break into. So just keep that in mind before you make your things too complicated. And then the only thing I would add onto what 23 Skidoo said was, if you are going to store your wallets in multiple locations, if it's the same seed phrase in three different spots, make sure you implement that BIP85. Because someone will definitely find that eventually. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year, but within years, someone will find that. And so just make sure that they just don't have access to everything with that.
And Coleman, I'll just say, I think that's sage advice. Where I've come, and this is just from working with hundreds of people on different setups and different scenarios and going through thought processes. And 23, I think you kind of mentioned this as well. It's like, or maybe it was AC, I'm not sure. I think the simplest setup that gives you the best security is 12 or 24 words plus a passphrase. So the idea would be that maybe you keep your 12 or 24 words in a couple of different places. If someone comes along and finds it, they wouldn't be able to recover your wallet with your Bitcoin in it if you have a passphrase. And so then the idea would be keep your passphrase in your head and then also maybe put it in the notes that go along with your estate planning documents like your will, or keep it with an attorney or a trusted friend or a parent. By having that passphrase with someone, they wouldn't be able to use it by itself. And presumably the person you trust and are giving it to isn't going to be hunting for your 12 or 24 words, right, to put it together and steal your funds. So I think that passphrase is a good way to go to give yourself optimal security, but then also not make it so complicated that if something were to happen to you, that your funds would never be recovered.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well said, Bob. Go ahead, Umar.
I was just going to say, my simple brain is kind of scared of multi-sig, but I like the idea of a passphrase. And I definitely, again, simple brain, so I have my seed phrase on a metal plate. And in terms of like distributed security, I don't know if this is reasonable or not, so I'll just bounce it off of you guys. Like, does it make any sense to, like, instead of doing like legitimate multi-sig, to like give out like parts of your seed phrase to trusted or secure locations? This way you have like a scattered backup for your seed phrase.
I think
it's like a legitimate like multi-sig.
Yeah, I think that the issue with that is, again, like, okay, let's just play it out. Let's say you had a sister, a brother, and your mom. and you gave them each 8 words. If they lose it, you only have 2/3. Like, so let's say your sister loses it because she moves to a different state. And she's like, oh, you know, that eight words you gave me, I don't have them anymore. And so if you go to recover, like, I think that you're just adding a lot more risk than you're gaining from distributing your single seed phrase across multiple parties. So best practice would be to not do that, because there's just too much risk of lost stuff, fire, so on and so forth. It's funny to me, like, and I'll just say this from experience, like, I've seen multiple people lose their keys or create complicated setups or forget to write things down or whatever would happen. I've also seen people have fires, and the one common thing is that they didn't think through, like, if it actually were to happen to them, right? And so the issue is like, you think, well, okay, I have these, maybe these 3 pieces of information spread out across trusted parties. But you know, chances are I'm never going to have to, like, go to them and actually recover this. I can tell you just because of device failure, all kinds of other things that happen, maybe a flood or a burst pipe. I've seen it all. The crazy thing is like, it can and probably will happen to you. And so if that is the case, you want to make sure that you can actually go and get the information and recover those funds. So that's just my little piece of advice on splitting up a single seed phrase.
And if you were going to choose it, Eomar, to, like, just locations, I think you'd be okay with that. But I would, like Bob said, I wouldn't try and split up your seed phrase into, like, 3 sections and have it spread out across the country or your area. I would just have each seed phrase, you know, at 3 different spots, and then just implement that BIP85, you know, that 25th word. And then you just, it's just a word that you just know. It's a word that you never forget, or you have it written down in one spot and no one ever has to worry about it, because you just always have that. So that's what I would do if I was going to do implement something like that. So we've hit the top of the hour. We had a great discussion today, but does any up here on the panel have anything else they'd like to say, get off their chests, or just just something we didn't cover?
I'll just say, back to kind of rounding it out, I think that, you know, Putin should be watched. And I think, not to say it from a negative connotation, I think he's highly in tune with what's going on. He had a head start on a lot of this from a nation state perspective, simply for the fact that he was sanctioned, you know, during this Biden administration. And so I think, you know, it's got to be on the radar of the United States, other countries. But I think we should be paying acute attention to some more of his comments in the future. And it will be interesting to see if they really do, either publicly or privately, like, if we can figure this out, that he starts really pushing Bitcoin. I think it's going to force the hand of a lot of other folks, a lot of other countries. So I'll just say that, just to round out the conversation from the beginning.
It's funny you mentioned, like, the sanctions, because I wonder how much of this is, like, our own, like, the many ways that our aggressive, like, our weaponization of the dollar has backfired on us, right? Because I don't know if there's any Compass miners in here, but Compass had a location in Russia, and that was probably the biggest pain point that a lot of like, hosted miners had, was they lost all of their miners, basically became, like, you couldn't get them out of Russia. Like, there was no way to do it. So a ton of those, you know, American miners got their equipment stuck over there. And I don't know, like, if some Russian company took it over, if the Russian government took it over, or what may have happened, but it'd be interesting to know, like, how, Like if that was just like another aspect of our weaponization of the dollar, like backfiring on us, if like it kind of forced the Russians to take another look at like Bitcoin mining and say like, oh, what are we doing here? And if that's facilitating the shift that they might be going through now.
Now,
and the other piece of that too is with Bitcoin mining, we got to remember that Russia is a very, you know, natural resource rich country, and that includes access to potential energy sources, renewable energy sources, stranded energy sources, and that's ripe for mining. And like we talked about earlier, you know, the positive light of the asset of Bitcoin, we didn't really delve too much into the mining aspect of it. And that plays directly into Jason Lowry's thesis of soft war, accumulation of hash power, and, you know, kind of his push for a hash force. So like Bob said, it'll be interesting to see how things play out at the nation state adoption level, but it's important for everyone concerned or everyone in the Bitcoin space to be focusing some attention there, because the way that this plays out, you know, this is a long-term chess game, and what we think is going to be great for Bitcoin today may be suboptimal in the future if we lose the sight picture.
Gentlemen, that was a really good way to round out that out, round out this conversation. And again, just to step back and look at all the chess pieces that have been moved over the last year, ever since we've sanctioned Russia with the SWIFT system. And I find it interesting, I just threw it up in the nest, and this is how we'll leave the space, but when David Bailey made this post on the 1st, so on Sunday, I thought it was very interesting, but in light of what Putin had just stated this morning, it becomes really clear. And so, quote David Bailey, "This time next year, it'll be undeniable that the USA, China, Middle East, North Africa, and Russia are in a full-blown space race for Bitcoin dominance." So again, whether you like him or hate him, like, he's someone that's directly involved in the Bitcoin ecosystem. He's talking to a lot of people. He's seeing a lot of things. So same with Dennis Porter. Again, you don't have to like the guy, or if you do, that's great. But just listen when they speak, and a lot of this becomes a lot clearer as these puzzle pieces just continue to move through. So just keep that in mind. Let's just sit and wait and see who moves next. And I think that'll be the United States with Eric Trump speaking at the Bitcoin Meta Conference later this week. But that's it. That's the show. I want to thank everybody who tuned in today, everybody who participated, everybody who joined the panel, 23, Iomar, Bob, AC, and everybody who had us on in the background just to tune out those voices in your head. So I do appreciate it. Join us tomorrow. We will be doing this again at 10 a.m. And on Friday, we're going to have the one and the only Natalie Brunell joining us. So I am really looking forward to that. Make sure you join Fridays. Make sure you join tomorrow as well. Get out there and just start moving pebbles. That all it means is just talk to somebody about Bitcoin. Spark that interest. Try and get them off zero. But enjoy the rest of your day, and don't shitcoin. It's like using dial-up internet to stream a 4K movie.